In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All of us, no matter what our situation or status in life, seek to comfort ourselves. We look at our situation and we seek to find as much comfort in life as we possibly can. But when we die, no matter what way we have found to comfort ourselves, whether it be by physical possessions or by building up our sense of having a grasp of the world by knowledge and understanding, no matter what means we have found to comfort ourselves, when we die, all of those things that we have used to comfort ourselves will be lost to ourselves. The rich man, when he had an unusually abundant harvest, not of understanding or of insight, but in this case, a harvest of goods, found that he had no way to store that many goods, and if he was a saint, he would have distributed all that he did not need to others. This is what the Son of God did. He came, he took our humanity on himself, and he was wealthy in life. He was abundant in life. And he destroyed our enemy, the one that we fear, the death that is present in the world, and he distributed his life to all of us. He gave everything he had to all of us. All that we have, beyond what we need, we owe to God, from whom it came. And we have a responsibility, according to St. John Chrysostom and other teachers of the Christian faith, to make sure that we don't have more, to build up our vanity and our sense of comfort that has nothing to do with trust in God, and we distribute that much to others. Some of us are able spiritually to distribute more. Some of us are only able to distribute a little. Our needs and the amount beyond which we have that is our need may not be great. It may be irresponsible. For those of us who have the responsibility of a wife or children or husband or relatives, for those who are close to us, we are responsible to provide for them. And we may not have as much as some others might have. But it is important for us not to take that beyond which we need in order to be able to function. And some of us can function with less than others. Some of us, it seems, need a certain amount, a certain level of comfort, or we just can't go on. But whatever that level is, beyond that, it all belongs to God. It all came from God. We didn't create it. We didn't create this world. We didn't create this country. We didn't create the situation that makes it possible for us to look around and see, where can I begin to pull things together to make myself more comfortable, to have more than I have? Jesus Christ asks us, when we die, whose will those things be? Those things that we have laid up in order to comfort ourselves, whose will they be? St. Nikolai begins by saying that the rich man is a thief who has taken pains over his thievery, used all his skill and intelligence, often more skill and intelligence than a farmer who labors in the field might use, in order to gain all that he gains. But why is he a thief? Isn't he a self-made man? Well, he hasn't made the heavens or the earth. He hasn't made the equipment that he uses. He hasn't made the animals if he's a farmer in this early time. And he has barns, and the wealth that he has is of an agricultural nature. He hasn't made any of those things. He's taken what is available and And if we are in the 20th century and we take what's available here, then we are born into a world where the country already exists, wars have already been fought, to give us the freedom to be able to pursue our lives how we choose. The electronic devices have already been created. We haven't made them. We haven't invented electricity. We haven't made the dams that provide electricity or whatever other means provide electricity. We take for granted everything around us, things that we have no understanding of. We flip on a switch, light comes, and if it doesn't, then it's somebody's fault. All the things that we exploit to our own good advantage have been provided by others. Our political system, others have died for it. Our economic system, others have died for it. We come on the scene and it's all in place. And we believe it all belongs to us because we have simply been born in this time, in this place. And we use our skill and we use our effort in order to gather things together so that we have enough to comfort us and beyond. That's why St. Nikolai says, this rich man is a thief because he goes beyond what he needs and he takes the resources available and he uses them in order to comfort himself at a spiritual level in the depths of his soul instead of taking his comfort from God, instead of being humble and thanking God for all that has been given, all that he is in a position to be able to take advantage of and use, instead of thanking God. When this rich harvest comes, he doesn't look out and see others in need. He only sees that he doesn't have a barn big enough to keep it for himself so that he can have a sense of comfort, a hedge against the fear of death, a hedge against the fear of bad times that may come, and others may suffer, but he won't suffer. He will have security. Others may fear, but he won't have to fear because he is secure in all that he has gathered together. He has stolen a sense of security from the world that we do not deserve because all things have been given to us. That's why he's a thief. All of his efforts, he takes and he reinvests. He finds new ways to make more and more, pulling down old barns in the parable, but we could say pulling down old plans of how to gain and gather more and more and building new plans so that more and more can be gathered without end. When will it end? When will there be enough? There will never be enough because the sense of security that we seek from the world and having things cannot fulfill our need for the sense of security that we can only have by loving God. And around the man, there is envy. And he enjoys the envy. Others think well of him. They think he is not like other men. He is exceptional. The Pharisee goes to the temple and he gives a thanksgiving to God. He gives thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that I am not as other men, that I am different, that I am special, that I deserve my vanity, that I have been able to build myself up into the condition that I am. And this spiritual sense applies to not just the simple example of having worldly possessions and worldly things. It applies to all of us. We may seek comfort in other ways. We may seek our comfort by study. We start out as students. We learn how to learn. We learn the love of learning. We have the sense of power of understanding. And throughout our lives, we gain more and more understanding, have a higher and higher opinion of our understanding of things as compared to others. Lord, I thank you that I am not like these others who do not understand how things actually are. I understand how things actually are. I have an understanding that is real, that reflects how things are. These poor others, they are not as special as I am. There is virtually no thing that we cannot take and use it as a source of comfort. There are even selfish forms of love where we take something out of the love that we give others and we hold it for ourselves. There are possessive forms of love. where the one I love becomes my possession. The one that I desire, the one that is more special to me than anything else, the one that gives me a sense of emotional and spiritual security. And the family becomes a kind of idol. Instead of giving to God, by giving to those who turn to us, we make something for ourselves out of this selfish love, this possessive love, this love that doesn't want to let go of the other person and let that person be themselves, love them for themselves in a way that does not grasp them to us, that does not use them for our psychological and emotional pleasure, making ourselves feel special, that we have accomplished a love, a family, in the midst of a world where the accomplishment of those things is all but passed away. Lord, I thank you that I am not like these others, that I have a wife, children, a job, the ability to take care of myself. And if it's taken away, then we have nothing, because we have built all these things for ourselves, not out of the love of God, not out of the love of others, but for ourselves. And so this business of comfort and riches, it applies to every kind of riches that we could have, not just material, but spiritual riches, emotional riches. Love can be a selfish investment, a self-satisfying and possessive ownership of my wife, my son, my daughter, my friend, my church. I am in a position to understand. Unfortunately, there are all these others. Lord, I thank you that I am orthodox and not like those who don't understand what the church is, what scripture is, what the teachings of Christianity really are. They don't understand, but I understand. This is a faith that I possess. And if that is our faith, then how different is it than the rich man who believes that he has piled something up for himself? But inwardly, we have not changed. And when we die, it passes on to others. It never really was made our own. All that we can gather or hoard for comfort inside of ourselves or outside of ourselves as physical things, all of these things, they don't belong to us. They belong only to God. All things are God's. All things are His. Food, clothing, wisdom, the things of the world, all is given to us by God. We are not self-made. We are His creatures. Unless we live in an open-handed and open-hearted kind of way, we are thieves of what belongs only to God. But there is another sense in which to understand what has been said here by Christ. The things that we lay up for ourselves that actually belong to God, we can also say of those things that they are God's. The things that we have laid up for ourselves are God's to us. God's with a small g, plural. Many gods, all of those things that we have laid up for ourselves for our security, not depending on God, not living open-handed, not living open-hearted, all of those things are our gods. And when we die, they may survive us. We may have wealth that survives us. We can't take it with us. But we can write a will. And we can leave it to those people who belong to us as our possessions. And we have the satisfaction of knowing that we have distributed the wealth that we have created to those who belong to us as our possessions, because we love them with a possessive kind of love. That's what the rich man ought to have done instead of, I mean, should have had a will. You know, I mean, it was unwise just to build a bigger barn that could burn down. Like all of those homes have burned down in California. It can all burn down. It can all be taken away. And when we die, if we are wealthy, Let's say wealthy in knowledge and understanding, and have we written books so that others can see all of the wealth of knowledge that we have when we die and we leave those books behind us. They are our fame. It need not be some great possession in the world that we leave behind so that we are famous. We may leave some kind of heritage behind so that our name is not forgotten. And others receive it. Others take it. Others may have desired the wealth that we had in our lives or our understanding. It doesn't need to be physical. But if it is physical and we do die, then those who have envied what we had all our lives, they may come and they may take it. The most graphic example of this that I can think of comes from a film, mid-60s, 1965, I think it came out. Anthony Quinn was in it. Nikos Kazantzakis' book made into a film, Zorba the Greek. And in the film, there is a woman, Madame Hortense, who is a rich French widow. She lives in a poor, poor village. No one has anything. But she is a wealthy woman. She has all that her husband left her. And she lives in the best house in the village. And she dresses like a wealthy woman. She doesn't have any friends, but she has wealth and everyone envies her. And when she dies and lays in her bed, all of the poor of the village come, invade her house, and strip it of all of the good things that she had. Strip down the coverings that hang around her bed. Everything. Everything is taken away. That was her wealth. That was what gave her comfort during her life. But when she dies, everything is taken away. What are you going to do when you die? What will happen to the things that you have laid up for yourself? They may be taken by others. They may be taken by the government. Better write a will. Make sure that your things go to those whose hearts are yours, that you somehow possess as members of your family or those who have given you something and made themselves your friend by giving you comfort or giving you honor. Hold on to it some way. That's the effort that we make, to hang on to the things that we have gathered together for our comfort during our lives. No matter what we do to try to hang on to these things, when we die, they are gone. They cannot save us. They cannot save us. That was the thing that they couldn't do for us during our lives. Some of us do awaken to this reality, this truth, and repent of the wasted effort that we have made in our lives, gathering things together that are not ours, but belong to God, and that will be stripped away from us and returned to Him and distributed in one way or another to others. We may awaken to wisdom and repent of every kind of hoarding for ourselves, every kind of hoarding to build ourselves up, whether it's material wealth or the glory of greater understanding than those around us intellectually, or whether it is an emotional sense of security, whatever it happens to be. We realize that this kind of hoarding for ourselves is not wise, and all will be lost in the end, and it cannot save us. We repent of that. And we begin to live a life where we try to live in an open-handed kind of way and give away the things that come to us beyond what is necessary for us. And that necessity depends on the health of our soul. Some of us simply must have more in order to be able to survive. There are others, the saints, they don't need anything. Whatever God gives them, their hands are open, they give it away to others. They don't need anything at all. Most of us are not like that. We're not saints. We have to have a certain level just to be able to function and go on. And that's fine. That's our spiritual condition. So long as we don't put our ultimate faith in the gathering of things, so long as we don't put our ultimate faith in our sense of what we have and who we are, that goes beyond the point at which it will do us any good. to give to others. We may give a little bit for the sake of our own satisfaction, but it won't help. We stay the way we are. We have to learn to live in an open-handed kind of way. John McCain, who gave so much during his life, he called this living for something greater than yourself. Such a person tries to live their lives so that at the end of their lives, the world is just a little bit better than they found it. And that is because of the way that they have lived their lives. Such a person has contributed something positive to the world at a spiritual level. In California, the fires that burn there have consumed whole lives, some physically, and some have just been stripped of their possessions so that they have nothing left but their life. Some of them who have survived will return to the task of hoarding. Now I have to start from scratch. In a sense, not so bad, because the great thing about hoarding is not the having, but the gathering. It's the joy of bringing things together. So long as you have things stable and certain, up to a certain level, you move on to something else. You start to look for some other way to gather together, to hoard, to build up, to have greater things, to build bigger barns. And so, in a way, they haven't been stripped of everything, only the physical things, because they have not repented of that gathering, of that hoarding, and they will go on to live lives of hoarding. Maybe this time they'll be more successful at it than before. Maybe they'll be less successful and fall into despair. But there are some very few who, having lost everything, will see, awaken, and realize none of it was theirs. It is gone. And rather than returning to a life of hoarding and gathering, they will return to a life of serving others, because they will have seen through to the real meaning and the significance of life and being a human being. We can think of parents whose children have been taken away by gun violence. What do they do? What do they do? Their children have been sacrificed to the gods of fear and anger and violence that are worshipped by the vast majority of us in this time. How can such a person go on with their life? Some of them may turn to the even more fervent worship of those same gods of fear, anger, and violence, but others may have been awakened to God. And they may finally turn to making the life that they have lost in their child a life that has been sacrificed so that they can go on and awaken others. Awaken others to the foolishness of living life insulated from others, fearful of others, fearful of life, angry. The paradox is that God can open the heart of such a father or a mother so that they want to make the life of their lost child meaningful. Never again should anyone have to experience the loss of a child in this kind of way. And so, like Senator McCain, they begin to take up a life that is devoted to something greater than themselves. Something greater than even the loss of an innocent life. Isn't that something about the cross? The innocent life that was given on the cross is what makes our lives worthwhile. Because through him, we can learn to live a life that isn't about gathering. A life that cannot be taken away from us. A life that isn't about possessions. A life that isn't about hoarding, vanity, and the admiration of others. A life that isn't about possessive love, but a life that is about loving others as God has loved us. Giving to others as God gives to us all of that which we have been given. All that we once took for granted, that it was ours to make, to have, to hold, to build up into some kind of a personal empire devoted to the glorification of our ego. all of that foolishness gone away, and we repent and live a different kind of life, a Christian life, a life that is not dominated by love of the things of the world and fear of what could happen and may in fact happen, a life that is free of fear because it has passed through the worst, come out the other side, and not returned to a life of fear. All of us are meant to learn that lesson in our lives and repent, for the kingdom of God is always at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.